Monty.
Is it time? Let's do this.
It's time for Real Golf Radio, the longest-running nationally syndicated golf show in the country, with insights and experience of professional golfer Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper, and the passion and, fun of Brian Taylor.
Nice.
Getting you ready for the weekend in golf for 19 years. Now that's real. Here they are, the hosts of Real Golf Radio, Brian and Bob.
Hey, welcome into this Thanksgiving weekend special edition Best of Real Golf Radio. Thanks for joining us, Brian Taylor, alongside Bob Casper, son of that legend Billy Casper. We thank you for being with us and taking us along for your travels and however you're accessing the show on this holiday weekend. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And again, you can find us online at realgolfradio.com, or our Twitter handle is at Real Golf. As customary, we take this weekend off, so we can't comment on the match, which took place yesterday, but we'll be sure to talk about that in the coming weeks when we're back live with you here on Real Golf Radio. That said, we've got some match coverage that you may not be expecting and unlikely to get anywhere else, and that's a conversation with the one and only, the former legend Ken Venturi, who was, of course, the star in that match at Cypress Point, playing alongside Harvey Ward, taking on the professionals. Of course, both of them are amateurs, taking on the professionals, Ben Hogan and Byron Nelson at Cypress Point before the old Bing Crosby. And this is just one of those classic stories, Bob. The book was written by Mark Frost, called The Match. It's a great read. If you have not done so, I'd highly recommend it. But in the spirit of the match happening this weekend, I thought maybe it'd be worth revisiting this conversation from several years ago when Mr. Venturi was still with us.
Yeah, it played at Cypress Point. What a better place to play a golf event, you know, with the ocean and everything right there. So it was put together, and these guys went out and played it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, really, really neat story. It's called The Match, the Day the Game of Golf Changed Forever. And that was really a transition, Bob, between amateur golf and professional golf, where the amateurs were celebrated previously, and then the professionals became more of the celebrated players.
Yeah, and, you know, guys, amateurs, as we all know, play for the love of the game, so to speak, and not getting any money for their efforts. And then the professionals at that point in time really started making some money and getting the PGA Tour to where it is now.
Yeah, believe it or not, the pros were really the blue collar, you know, making really little money, and it was the amateurs
at the
clubs. Yeah, the amateurs, and well, yeah, they were working for the amateurs who were, you know, the ones. You've seen some of the movies and some of the history there, Francis We Met and things of that nature. It's a really interesting time, and this book brings to light a lot of that. And also, it just has some, so you got some great golf history, some great drama, a really well-written book by Mark Frost, The Match. So check that out. You hear from Ken Venturi coming up next. And then Thomas Pagel, before we close out hour number one, he's going to talk to us with some rules updates as 2019 is just around the corner and the new rules updates are upon us. That's all hour number one on this Best of Edition. Stay tuned. You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Hey, what does it take to be the number one irons in golf? Well, if you ask the engineers at Callaway, they'll tell you one thing: innovation. And they would know, because Callaway's face cup technology has made them the number one irons in golf. The face cup technology that makes their irons tremendously powerful actually came from their fairway woods and hybrids, which incidentally, those fairway woods and hybrids continue to outperform the competition. Face cups dramatically increase ball speed across the face, and the second Callaway started engineering irons with face cups, everything changed. Golfers started seeing tremendous gains in distance and forgiveness, and of course, the engineers at Callaway keep on innovating. Steelhead, Big Bertha, and Apex irons are all powered by Callaway's game-changing face cup technology, and they've all made Callaway the number one irons in golf. To learn more about the technology behind the number one irons in golf, go to CallawayGolf.com. Callaway, the number one irons in golf.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicholas agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
What happens when our most epic driver technology goes rogue? You set the new bar in speed. Then you set it in forgiveness. This is the new jailbreak. It's our fastest driver technology. And now it's in our most forgiving head. That's how you get the most powerful jailbreak effect ever. The new Rogue Driver from Callaway, the number one driver in golf.
So you've thought about LASIK surgery, but you're hesitant. I get it. It's your eyes, and while it's a hassle to deal with contacts and glasses, the thought of a laser in your eye sounds painful and scary. Well, let me tell you, I had the same feelings until I went to Hoops Vision for my free evaluation. I was super impressed with the time they spent, and they put all my concerns to rest. I left excited and confident knowing that I was in the best hands with the latest technology. The day of the surgery was easy. No pain, comfortable massage chairs, and warm chocolate chip cookies to help me relax. And then the miracle. Within a few minutes, I could see. It's an amazing feeling, and now I can see where my golf ball goes, and I enjoy wearing sunglasses and not dealing with contacts that dry up out in the sun and the wind. It's why major champions like Mike Weir chose Hoops Vision. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with new techniques such as smile and camera, there are more options than ever before. Visit HoopsVision.com today and schedule your free consultation. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you could save $1,000 off your procedure. More choices, more experience, better vision at Hoops Vision.
At the First Tee, we believe a good grip can be the foundation for success both on and off the golf course. We don't just teach golf, we teach life skills. And help drive young people to be the next generation of great mentors. To learn more, visit thefirsttee.org.
You can tell a lot about a golfer by the way he sets his hands on the club. Is he squeezing the life out of it, or is it like he's cradling a newborn baby? Holding it light so he can feel the club head eliminates tension, increases swing speed, and improves accuracy. These are the things our grips promote. Because the secret to golf isn't how you put your hands on the club, it's the way you put your hands on a wind grip. Wind, play your best golf.
And now, the best.
Rewind.
Cue it up. Of Real Golf Radio. With Brian Taylor and Bob Casper on the Real Golf Radio Network.
And joining us right now, a winner of 14 PGA Tour events, including the 1964 U.S. Open. Longtime voice of CBS Golf, the legendary Ken Venturi, joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Mr. Venturi, thanks for joining us and happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you. One day after that, I'm still full from it, but it's great, Brian. Thank you.
Well, as it should be. Recently, we had Mark Frost on the show to talk about his new book, The Match, The Day the Game of Golf Changed Forever, which featured you as a central character paired with fellow amateur Harvey Ward playing a match at Cypress Point against Ben Hogan and Byron Nelson. First of all, tell me your recollection of that day back in 1956.
Well, it's over 50 years now, and Mark Frost did a magnificent job because he did the greatest game ever played and the Grand Slam. But his research on Hogan and Nelson and Harvey was just phenomenal. And the match, the sad part about it, I'm the only one alive in the whole book, I think, has left there. But I can remember like it was just yesterday being at George Coleman's house, and they asked us what we were going to do, And I said, we're going to play. He said, do you have a game? He said, well, no, but he won a game. I said, well, we'd like to play those two guys over there. And I was pointing to Nelson and Hogan. And they thought, well, let's see what we can do. Well, Coleman was a big, big investor in the Hogan company. When he asked a favor of Ben, it was hard for him to say no.
Sure.
So he said, and the great part about it is that he asked Hogan, he said, to play with Byron, and he said, well, I'll play, but I don't think Byron would. And then Eddie Lawrie asked Byron, he said, well, I would, but I don't think Hogan would. And he said, well, we can arrange it. So we played the match this was a Monday night, and we played the match the next morning at 10 o'clock at Cypress Point.
So tell us about Eddie. As you mentioned, we know kind of about how he was depicted in The Greatest Game Ever Played, but what was Eddie really like?
Well, Eddie was a great giver to the game, and he was, you know, he, because I owe a lot to him, because I worked for him before I went in the service after I got out of college, and then when I got out of the service, I ran Lake Merced Motors for him, and he was, you know, Harvey and I worked for him, but he was a very respected man anywhere he went, but mainly around the Bay Area.
Ken Venturi joining us here on Real Golf Radio. It's pretty interesting when you talk about the day the game of golf changed forever. Speaking of the end of the celebrated amateur golfer, how do you think that's affected the game today with sort of the end of that celebrated amateur?
Well, you know, you talk about, you know, the eras. You know, you think about who is the greatest golfer that ever lived. Well, Hogan said it best. He said a champion in his era would be a champion in any era he lived in. You can't compare the players today against like a Bobby Jones who played with Hickory Shafts, but the boys are getting out there much younger. They're not, you know, a lot of them don't complete college. There's no more drafts, you know, because I lost 3 years of my playing ability because of being in the service. And but so many things have changed when you think about it. You know, like when I turned pro, I missed 3 Ryder Cups because I had to wait, we had to wait 5 years before we could get points.
Yeah.
You turn pro tomorrow and you get points tomorrow, you know, and then we had to wait 6 months before you could collect money. But you think about the changes in the money today compared to what we played for in our day. But you know, I'm very prejudiced to it, Brian, Bob. I know they make a lot of money today in all sports, but I think I feel that I lived in the greatest era of all time. I mean, I'm not talking about golf. I'm talking sports in itself, entertainment, everybody. It was just it was quite a time to live.
You know, it's interesting. Everybody feels the same. In talking with my father, he feels the same about his era, of which he played in part of your era also. But you know, at the time, that was you were talking about money, but that was a huge money match in those days. Did you feel pressure, or did you enjoy being put in the situation of playing against Hogan and Nelson?
Oh, I enjoyed it, but the thing about it, about the match and everything, is that I respected both of them because I was very fortunate that Nelson took me under his wing in 1952. And then I played a lot of golf with Hogan, and so I had the two best because Byron was a teacher. Hogan wasn't a teacher. You had to pick his brain. You had to ask him what's he feel or what's it do or what are you thinking about when he swings down. He would tell you what he was doing, but he couldn't correct you and say, you know, Ken, I think if you do this and this, Byron could do that.
Yeah.
So Byron was more of the teacher. Hogan was more just execution, and you sort of had to try to just learn from watching him, huh?
Well, we had, you know, he had the mental side of the game, and he, you know, I could pick his brain. In fact, this is some years back, that, you know, he never did any interviews, and so Frank Chekinian, who was the director of the CBS and golf and everything, and he wanted to get to do an interview with Hogan, and they went to ask Hogan, and he said, I'll do it for two things. He says, three things. He said, Frank Chekinian will do it. We'll do the taping. Ken Venturi will do the interview, and I don't want anybody else around to be listening to us. And when I started asking, because I had a bunch of notes, and I looked down at the first question, and I looked up at him, and I asked him the first question. His eyes went straight into mine, and he never left my eyes. I couldn't look down at my notes. I had to think, what was my next question? he just froze on me, and I mean, it was something to see.
Oh, wow. Ken Venturi is joining us here on Real Golf Radio, looking back at the match, the day the game of golf changed forever, a new book by Mark Frost. And, you know, they talk about in the book, and this is the neat thing for me. I'm only 33 years old, so obviously I'm looking at this and through my relationship with Bob and getting to know Billy Casper and looking back at some of the history of the game. It's a real treat to be able to read a book like this and be educated as well as entertained. But I thought it was an interesting story. I believe you shot 66 and beat Byron Nelson by 2 shots the first time you guys played, and then he reworked your entire swing. What was that like, first of all, and then how was it working with Byron?
Byron was We played our first round when I came back from Seattle after the National Amateur, and he said, I'm just going to watch it today, and they said, then we'll play, and then we'll work on it when we get in. And I proceeded to shoot 66 at San Francisco Golf Club, and thinking to myself, you know, what can he show me? You know, I'm so good. I mean, really good. And so I couldn't wait any longer. We were inside. Well, I said, well, Mr. Nelson, what do you think? He said, Ken, that was a fine round. He said, I'm going to be in town for three more days. I'll meet you out here tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. He said, there's about seven or eight things we've got to work on.
Wow.
And I said, oh, I should have remembered what my dad did with me one time when I was telling my dad how good I was. I'm the best. And I mean, I went on. My dad was just nodding. And I never forgot this. And he said, are you through? I said, yeah, Dad. He said, son, well, let me tell you something. When you're as good as you are, you can tell everybody. But when you get really good, son, they'll tell you.
Oh. Wow.
That was the last time I told anybody I was any good.
That that's a great story. And what were some of the things that he wanted you or that he wanted to work on with you?
Well, the big thing was that he changed my. I had a strong right hand because I never had a professional lesson until I met Byron Nelson, and then he said my takeaway and then my balance and my change and my downswing and things like that. And to show you how it would change, is that he said you must change your grip and the whole thing. And I was getting ready to go down to the state amateur where I was defending champion, and he says you can't revert back to this now. You got to stay with it, or else you're going to go back and forth that you want. I said, I promise you, I'll stay. And he says you're going to, you know, but the main thing is your grip. And I said, well, I can do it. He says, I'm sure you can. And I said, well, how long you think it would take? So I'm thinking, you know, I can do it quickly. He says, well, as good as you are and what talent you have, he says, you can probably, without thinking about it, you can probably get over this in about a year. What? I said. And it was true because you look at your grip and you say, how's that? Fine, fine. Then you think, go ahead and hit it. And without thinking, your hand just drops back into the old grip.
Sure.
So you can understand and, I guess, empathize a little bit when Tiger goes through some swing changes in today's game, huh?
Well, the thing about it, is, you know, that when you look at where he missed the cut at Wingfoot, the rough was so long and hitting it in the rough because I think he hit less than 10 fairways, 36 holes. He couldn't hit it on the green. He had to go back to the fairway. But Hogan has said it himself, if you want to think of a good shot maker, he wants narrow fairways, he wants hard greens, and he wants small greens, and the shot maker then will just tear you apart.
It's the best of Real Golf Radio.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780. Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
You're listening to the best of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper on the Real Golf Radio Network.
Hey, Ken, talk about the rift between Byron and Ben Hogan. That was brought out a little bit in the book, which I didn't realize. Obviously, these are two guys who were caddies together at Glen Garden Country Club and who shared the same, you know, similar status in society and circumstances and really grew together in the pro game and then sort of had a rift there when Byron started winning and Hogan couldn't quite get it done yet.
Well, Hogan had to make the swing change that he had because he was tremendously, hooked the ball tremendously, and he had to make all the changes. But you got to remember that Brian and Bob, that they grew up in competition against each other, and the thing about it is not that they didn't like each other. They were completely different personalities. Heads and tails. That's how different the two of them were.
Interesting. Without telling us who won the match, because we want people to read the book, but what did everybody shoot that day?
To sum it up, what we did is that Hogan shot 63, I shot 65, and Harvey and Byron shot 67.
Wow.
And between the four of us, we made 27 birdies and an eagle. But the book, I'm telling you right now, Mark was great because I proofread it about 3-4 times and made not big corrections of background, but certain holes of the match and certain things and conversations that we had, but the thing about it is that I've said it, and of course I've done it. In fact, I've gone through it again. Is that it's a book that I have found that of all the books that I've read, this book, when you pick it up and you start it, you really can't put it down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It had me mesmerized for a couple of days. I don't read a ton of books, to be honest with you, but I couldn't put this one down. It was very good. Hey, talk about Harvey Ward, and then you're right along with Harvey in this book as well as characters. I mean, not just golfers, not just great players, but characters that you know, and then the whole clambake scene seemed to be full of characters back in the day. It seems like that's been lost a little bit, more sort of robots in today's game, and maybe that's because there's so much money out there and it's such a big business.
Well, you think about with the equipment and the golf ball and everything years ago, is that golf swings are like fingerprints. There were no two alike. There's so much alike today, but you have the teaching gurus. You know, they've got all the great teachers of today. But you look at the five best-known teachers, they've never won a tournament. The thing about it is that when Nelson or Hogan said something, they've been there, and he says, when you get down to the last few holes, here's what you have to do. This is what you have to think about. This. They've been there, and it's like when they talked, you listened. But the thing about it is that today they're more mechanical. They don't play well the golf ball, the conditions of the golf course. We played a lot of different shots, and today they mostly all look alike. In fact, I can't remember any time that we ever could spin the ball like these guys can spin it back off the green and stuff. We never did that.
Hmm. You know, the other part of that, too, in talking about the way this changed is the fact that the pros had to work so hard. The state of the pro game and the amateur game were vastly different at the time. And you were choosing, I mean, you had a better life, essentially, to be an amateur at the time and work for Eddie on the car in a car salesman role versus what the pros were doing, trying to make a living out there. Do you think that changes the amount of champions or the heart or the character that because maybe it comes a little too easy for today's pros?
It's changed. It has changed amateur golf. When I was on the Walker Cup in '53, we made a challenge to the Ryder Cup team, and they wouldn't try us because we could whip them good because because there was no money. But you look at, you know, you look at Charlie Cole, who was a great amateur. He was in the oil business. You go, Hyman was in insurance and all this stuff. There was no money in the game, so more people stayed amateur. But today there's so much money, these kids don't think about it. They turn pro. They did an article about me in 1958. In 1958, they did an article about it in me in Chicago. In 1958, I won four tournaments and finished in the top 10 15 times and made $49,500. Mm. They did a comparable tournaments of today.
Mm-hmm.
It's... and of what I would have done in the tournament that I played, and it was well over $6 million.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you think of the amount of tournaments that, Bob, that your dad won.
Sure.
I mean, you know, he's not even up there with the leading money winners, you know. I mean, there's no such thing. I mean, there ought to be an asterisk there. There was no money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You talked a few minutes ago about the era and how you enjoy playing in your era and the entertainment values and that type of thing and everything that went along with that. Are you happy with where golf is today?
Well, you know, where we were playing, we had about, you know, we looked at about 8 or 10 guys we had to beat. Now you're looking at 80 or 90 guys you have to meet. It's changed. I just wish that they would, have the respect that we were taught of the game and to give back, because as I asked Byron Nelson, how could I ever repay you for everything you've done for me? And he said, be good to the game, Ken, and give back. And I tried to live by those things. And I was taught by, we saw some great, great players. And I got to be friends with Gene Saracen, who I knew very well, and friends with Bobby Jones. And in fact, when I won the Open, Francis, we met, was my broker. I mean, those are all the things that, you know, you think about things that can change. Like, if I had won the Masters as an amateur, there wouldn't have been television. There probably wouldn't have been an Open. I would have been Billy Ford, who's going to take me back there to work for him and do all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I wouldn't trade anything for what I am today. If I had to choose to be anybody, I'd choose to be me. And there was a great line that Jack Whittaker said about me when he talked about me, which I think sums up that everything that, if things were different, but he said that fate has a way of bending the twig and fashioning a man to his better instincts. And if some things were changed, it wouldn't be like it is today, and I like just where I am today. I think about it often. I was with CBS for 35 years. Luckily, I was hired by Frank Chekanian, but my tour career only lasted 10 and a half years. And the one thing I always think about, that I would think about other than anything, is I wonder what I could have done if I'd stayed healthy and not lost the use of my hands, because I was knocked down at the very peak of my career.
Mm. Absolutely. Ken Venturi joining us here on Real Golf Radio. And quickly, before we let you go, your thoughts, spending so much time, obviously, with CBS, runner-up at the Masters as an amateur. What's your thoughts on the Masters and where it is today and some of your fondest memories of Augusta National?
Oh, I've got so many. I played like in the 16 Masters, and I did, I went with CBS in 68 and was doing that. I coined the phrase, which has always been, is the Masters begins on Sunday on the back nine, and, mm-hmm. and that's where all, there are so many. Augusta has two different faces. It's not a tough golf course in practice rounds, but when you start getting into trying to win the Masters in the back nine, there are so many choices that you have to make, but again, that my thought that I've had discussions with them, a short, accurate golfer is not going to win there. You have to be long, and they have to come up with, like the rough they had at Wingfoot, to now make it, you know, that when you hit it in the rough, you, or because it's probably, Augusta is probably the widest fairways that they play all year long, and length is really, they're making it longer each year, but they're playing into the hands of the long hitter.
Well, Mr. Venturi, we really appreciate you taking some time to join us today. Great insights. It was neat learning more about you and your career as an amateur and a professional in this book, and we hopefully be able to sit down and chat with you again, and we wish you the best.
Well, thank you, Brian and Bob. And Bob, give your dad my best, and I'll tell you what, if I had to say one thing, he was probably, to me, I think he's probably the greatest, most underrated, best player that the game has ever known.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's the best of Real Golf Radio.
Last year, Callaway's transformative jailbreak technology created an epic shift in ball speed and performance. In fact, it made them the number one driver in golf. Now it's the fairway wood's turn. That's right, the new Rogue Fairway is the world's first fairway wood with jailbreak technology. Let me say that again. Callaway has put jailbreak bars into a fairway wood. We're talking about game-changing ball speed here. And of course, every Rogue fairway comes equipped with Callaway's legendary 360 face cups. When you put these two things together, which is crazy when you think about it, you get the most powerful fairway wood Callaway has ever created. You'll immediately see a difference in distance and ball speed. But stay humble and let your buddies ask, how the heck did you get there in two? Did you just outdrive me with a three wood? And you could just nod and say, yep, I went Rogue. Get the details on the new Rogue Fairway at CallawayGolf.com. It's time to go Rogue with Callaway, the number one fairway woods in golf.
At the first tee.
Oh, oops.
It's the little things in life we pick up.
Hey, thank you.
That make for a successful future.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Oh, you dropped this.
Because little things can carry a big impact both on and off the course.
Hey, thanks.
To learn more, visit thefirsttee.org.
Callaway Golf has been the fastest growing golf ball brand since 2013, and the ChromeSoft golf ball has been a major part of that. ChromeSoft is extremely fast, incredibly soft, and unbelievably easy to control, which is why Phil Mickelson, Patrick Reed, and Jim Furyk have changed to ChromeSoft. You have to be willing to change to get better. ChromeSoft and the new ChromeSoft X are in stores now. See what they can do at CallawayGolf.com. ChromeSoft, it's the ball that changed the ball.
Your hands, with the grip, they form the connection between you and your club. In a game where feel is so important to playing your very best, great shots begin with a great grip. For every golfer who wants to play better, there's a Lampkin grip.
The difference between tour pros and regular golfers is, well, pretty much everything. But when it comes to putting, the best players in the world generate top spin at impact. Most of us do not. The new O-Works Microhinge insert from Odyssey dramatically generates top spin at impact regardless of the putting stroke. Top spin is what gets the ball rolling on its intended line. The Microhinge insert is a new way to roll. The new O-Works Microhinge insert from Odyssey is in stores now. Go to odysseygolf.com to learn more.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
You're listening to the best of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper on the Real Golf Radio Network.
Thomas Pagel joining us from the USGA, Director of Rules and Amateur Status. Thomas, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's you've been very kind to spend time with us over the years, and this is kind of some exciting stuff that's happening. A lot of announcements. The new rules are finally, after all this time and the work that's been put into, even longer than what we realize. But as far as the announcement has been made, it's almost been a couple of years, and here it is, just a couple of months now from being implemented. I guess you got to be pretty excited, right, about this new 2019 January 1.
Brian, you nailed it. I mean, I think you look across the USGA and the RNA and even our friends at the tour. I mean, I think everybody is very excited. You think back to the first meeting that we had as a collective group, those three bodies, along with the European Tour in April of 2012, to really say, you know what, guys, I think the rules have become a little too complicated for golfers throughout the world. Let's do something about it. And so it seems like a long time ago, but it flew by. So we're as I tell people, I'm excited to see the lights turn on come January 1, see the new rules in effect. I think, you know, some of the anxiety that folks might have around the new rules, I think will quickly be put to rest as they watch the Tournament of Champions in Kapalua.
Is that what sparked the discussion or everything? Was that it just seemed like the rules were getting too difficult and they needed to be simplified?
That's exactly right. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to our leadership at the time. But really having that self-awareness, you know, I was still fairly new to staff at that point. I think I'd been with the USGA for just over a year, so still really getting my feet under me, so to speak, as it relates to the process and relationships with the RNA. And I was pulled into this meeting, and it was our leadership at the time, along with Peter Dawson at the RNA, that said, you know what, all well-intentioned, but as we tinker with these rules over the course of the last 30 years, they've just become way too complicated, and golfers throughout the world don't really have a chance of confidently knowing what they're supposed to do. So let's fix that.
All right, Thomas. So we're going to go through some of these. You guys had put out on social media 20 most important changes to the rules of golf in 2019. We'll hit some highlights. But first of all, Bryson DeChambeau making some comments about flagstick.
Jerem left.
Yeah. Did at any point in time, did you ever take into consideration the COR of the flagstick when you'd made this rule?
You know, I need to reach out to our equipment guys to see if we actually ever tested COR of a flagstick, because I'm not sure where Bryson got that. But look, I'll tell you that that's why we love Bryson. I mean, he's a part of the USGA family, obviously a past amateur champion. He embodies that creativity that I think so many of us have as golfers. He might take it to the next level, but man, he is a thinker and very creative with it. And, you know, that particular rule change, that is one that during that feedback period where we had the 30,000 different pieces of feedback, we heard a lot of comments. And there are arguments on both sides, for and against. And we knew as we wrote it that it would come down to personal preference. Some players will want to leave it in. Some players will want to take it out. But on balance, we don't see it being of great benefit to leave the flagstick in the hole. And at the end of the day, we do think it'll help speed up play, especially at the recreational level, where you're not always walking forward to have to pull out the flagstick. And also, at the end of the day, you know, why penalize somebody two strokes if they hit the flagstick? So it's one that I think personal preference will prevail come January 1, and I'm sure we'll continue to talk about it. But to COR, yeah, I don't know that we went that deep when we were considering this change.
What are some of the other highlights as far as what you think are most interesting as far as some of the rules that have been changed?
You know, I think as people dive into it, I think people are really going to appreciate the procedural changes. What I mean by that, that's the dropping procedure.
Yeah.
You know, it's just now you measure your one club length or your two club lengths, and you just drop it, and your only responsibility is to get the ball on that ground in that area. You no longer have to worry about, did it roll two club lengths? Did it not roll two club lengths? So I think that is a massive improvement. But you take it one step further, and currently, you know, you have rules like under stroke and distance, you have to go and drop as nearly as possible. Well, that's a specific spot. And so we're putting a lot of pressure on the player to say, okay, where exactly did I last play from, and can I hit that spot or as close to it as I possibly can? In the future, we're saying, you know what, you get one club length from where you last played from. So, again, we've built in that flexibility or that latitude to where the player can act with a bit more confidence. So, overall, I think the procedural changes are going to be the ones that will have the greatest impact. But, you know, you go down the list, and I don't want to monopolize. I want you guys to be able to jump in. But, you know, the time of search going down to three minutes, I love that change. But along with that, I think what I like even better is the fact that there's no longer a penalty if you as the player move your ball when you're trying to find it. Mm-hmm. So the message is, we want you to find your ball. We want you to keep moving forward. And if you happen to step on it or kick it when it's down in the deep grass, there's no need for a penalty. Just put it back and let's keep going. You know, of course, all the changes to the putting green, and then to your listeners, I mean, the local rule for stroke and distance, where I can't find my ball in the trees, I think it may have gone out of bounds. Now for a two-stroke penalty, I'm just going to be able to drop, you know, just inside the fairway edge. Again, it's all about keeping you moving forward so you're not having to go back.
And that's important. You said just inside the fairway edge, not necessarily within the two club lengths. Is that right, of where it went out?
That's right. I mean, so what you estimate where your ball's lost or where it went out of bounds, and you basically take that same estimated distance. You can take it all the way to the fairway and then drop within two club lengths of the fairway edge. So if you want to drop in the rough, you certainly can drop in the rough behind where your ball is estimated to be lost. But if you want to get a little bit better shot, you can certainly take it two club lengths into the fairway. And again, I think about impactful changes, especially to the everyday golfer, and I think that's a significant one.
It is really. In fact, that's one I remember we talked about that, but I had forgotten that right. You could actually do that. So that's going to be one that you'll your playing partners will look at you a little sideways the first time you do that when you bring it all the way to the fairway, right?
Either that or that you and your playing partners that have been doing it for years. Now when you do it, you'll say, you know what, we're playing by the rules today.
I like
so,
it.
So in terms of that, would a player be hitting his fourth shot or his third shot?
So it would be replicating stroke and distance. So the player would be hitting their fourth.
Fourth, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Interesting. I really like this embedded ball rule where you get free relief anywhere through the golf course, including in one of those sand-filled divots in the middle of the fairway, huh?
Hey, now, be careful. Don't start spreading rumors here. It's funny, as we continue to talk about the new rule, that's the one thing that comes up. How come you didn't include relief from a sand-filled divot? And it is, you know, early on, and it was probably, frankly, way back at that meeting in April 2012 where we said, if we're going to do this, we need to push ourselves, challenge ourselves to think big, think differently, not be as comfortable as perhaps we once were in the rules committee setting. But there are certain traditions that we need to maintain. And when I say traditions, I don't mean that, you know, you have to play from a sand-filled divot, and that was our conclusion. What we're saying is, you know, there are principles to the game. You play the ball as it lies. You play the course as you find it. So you hit that little white ball, you find it, and you play it again. And there are certainly situations where you're going to pick the ball up and put it in your hand and get a drop, or you're going to have to take some type of procedure. But for the most part, you're going to play the ball from where it comes to rest. And part of the challenge is, you know, you're going to have a little bit different line. Not everything's going to be perfect. And with that comes those sand-filled divots. And I know that that's tough for a lot of people to accept. But what I also say is, you know, and I'm sure you guys have heard me say this, if I haven't said it to you directly, when is a divot no longer a divot, right? When does it sprig up a little bit of grass? And so now it's, you know, more grass, but there's still sand in there. And who's going to make that determination? So all of a sudden, are we going to create an unnecessary level of controversy to give people relief? And at the end of the day, it's just not worth it. So it's a challenging game. I love the fact that some of that challenge is still being maintained. And it's never fun, but again, as golfers, we're creative, so you'll figure it out.
Hey, Thomas, sorry, Bob.
Go ahead.
We're just about out of time, but talk about these penalty areas, because that's a big thing, too. Water hazards are now penalty areas. There's also some interesting ways as far as touching the ground in penalty areas, and then also inadvertently touching the sand in bunkers as well. Talk about some of those nuances that I think are going to be probably take some time for us to get used to.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so the concept of penalty areas under the current rules, it's very, very clear that only areas that contain water can be marked with a yellow line or a red line. You know, we look at golf courses and we say, you know what, golf course operators and owners, golf professionals, they know their golf courses better than anybody. If there's a tree lined area where they're losing a bunch of balls, what's the harm in them putting a red line down and allowing a player to take free relief if their ball's in there? You know, you think about if that river is inset 20 yards into the woods, you know, the standard under the current rules is you mark that hazard as close to the riverbank line as possible. Why not give committees the flexibility to pull that line out and put it outside the tree? So it really is about adding the committee discretion. Again, the individuals that know their golf course is the best, giving them the flexibility to, frankly, operate it how they see fit. Now, from a player perspective, what players can expect is, frankly, a removal of a whole bunch of penalties. And so now if your ball's inside one of these red line areas, you're allowed to ground your club. You can even take practice swings just as if you were in the fairway. You just can't improve anything in there. So, again, as we looked at this, we said, you know, if the number of red lined areas increase, there's probably more opportunities for players to play balls in these areas now. And is it really worth penalizing a player if they happen to ground their club behind their ball? You know, if a player steps 5 feet away and takes a practice swing, have they learned so much that we've diminished the challenge? And ultimately, we thought the answer was no. And you can also carry that into bunkers where, you know, in bunkers, you're still not allowed to take practice swings. You're still not allowed to intentionally ground your club behind the ball. But if you're hovering your club somewhere nearby and you happen to hit the sand, there's no longer a penalty for that because, you know, at the end of the day, it's an accident and it's just not worth that two-stroke penalty.
Interesting. Mm. And then finally, real quick, the green surface, any damage on the green surface can now be repaired. Doesn't matter.
That's correct. And we looked at this and we said, look, agronomically, greens are across the board at all levels of play have become so much better maintained that if there's a shoe print in the middle of the green, why not let a player repair it? And so at the end of the day, it is any damage caused by essentially a person, any damage caused through maintenance or any damage caused by an animal, a player will now be able to repair. So, you know, you're no longer going to see out there on the PGA Tour, even at your club where guys are debating, is that a ball mark or is that a shoe print? Just go ahead and repair it. The challenge on the putting green is really keeping the ball on the ground and getting it in the hole, not keeping the ball on the ground, how well you navigate that heel print and then get it in the hole. So go ahead and repair the damage.
And that will bring much more harmony within the champions' locker room between Phil and VJ when they're out worrying about spike marks.
Yeah.
Very nice. I like it. Nothing but love from the USGA.
I like it.
And the rules changes coming up in 2019. Check it out at usga.org. And Thomas, I wish we had more time. We need more time, but unfortunately we're out of time. But we appreciate you joining us and great insights and congratulations on this work. I'm anxious to see how it all unfolds, you know, as guys start using it and putting it into play and hopefully people find it to be a little bit more pleasant and easier to deal with, right?
I think that's right. And, you know, that the feedback we've gotten, I think people are energized around it. They've really engaged around the subject. So we're excited for January 1st. I think golfers will find it easier to understand and apply. And look, we're probably going to learn a few things come January 1. So we're excited to see it all play out.
Well, thank you again for your time. As always, we appreciate it. If we don't talk to you beforehand, happy holidays and best of luck in the new year.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me, and look forward to doing it again.
All right.
Thanks,
Thomas. You got it. Thomas Pagel joining us right here, USGA Director of Rules and Amateur Status.
It's the best of Real Golf Radio.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003, 800-485-6003, 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. This segment brought to you in part by Callaway, the number one driver in golf. Check out CallawayGolf.com/gift guide for your holiday gift guide suggestions only from CallawayGolf.com. And we thank you for joining us here on this best of Thanksgiving weekend edition of Real Golf Radio. Hope you enjoyed this first hour so far as we heard a two-part interview with Ken Venturi from several years ago. It was 5 or more years ago that we sat down and visited with Mr. Venturi and had asked him some questions about recalling his experience with the match and just really priceless stuff. I'd kind of forgotten about this interview, and as we talked on the show, Bob, the match just was one of those things that came to mind, and there's so much history, and it's just one of the neat things that we've had to do on this show is to talk with some of the legends, you know, like Byron Nelson in the past. Yep. And Ken Venturi, and to have them relive some of these things that, you know, we didn't get to see.
You know, and the interesting thing is, you know, with my dad in his younger years, he was able to rub shoulders with these guys and play golf with these guys. And it's been a very fortunate for me in my life to be able to grow up around them, to be able to make some calls and to for us to be able to, as Real Golf Radio, to be able to interview them and that kind of thing before they passed away.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Do you remember much interaction with Ken Venturi in your life?
A little bit, not a whole heck of a lot. More so with Byron Nelson, as he came a few times to San Diego to go to participate in a charity event that my dad had called the Save a Heart Day. They played golf at San Diego Country Club and then had a big charity dinner in downtown San Diego. So. Pretty cool stuff to be able to be around these guys.
That's a dinner I would love to attend. Billy Casper, Byron Nelson, charity dinner. Man, that must just be priceless. I'll bet the stories were amazing.
You know, they were. They were. And, you know, I heard a lot of them down through the years and that kind of thing. But, pretty neat to see those guys. And we've got pictures somewhere and all kinds of stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really neat. Did you ever meet Hogan?
I think I met Mr. Hogan once when I was with my dad at Colonial, when he was there playing. But my dad and Mr. Hogan had a really, really cool relationship. Dad never took advantage of going to his golf course, but also always spent some time with Mr. Hogan when he was at the, you know, at Colonial or something like that. He even gave him a putting lesson.
Yeah, that's a great story. I wasn't to save that one for another time, but that was a classic story. All right, that'll do it for hour number one of this Thanksgiving weekend edition of Real Golf Radio. Stay tuned. The back nine coming up next.
USA Radio News. I'm Wendy King. A new government report on climate change has been released, and the findings go against President Trump's stance. The White House report was quickly issued on Black Friday, with critics saying the administration had made attempts to bury the report in the public eye and continued denying climate science.
The report frequently contradicts the president, who has often questioned how much climate change is caused by humans, and said recently, after seeing the California wildfires, that he hasn't changed his mind on climate change.
No, I have a strong opinion. I want great climate. We're going to have that.
But the report from outside scientists and officials with 13 federal agencies warns wildfires and hurricanes are getting worse. It also details how global warming is hurting each U.S. region independently. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM.
The Trump administration has asked the Supreme Court to bypass the federal appeals court and take up their policy that bans most transgender people from serving in the military. Joan Biskovic has more.
Lower courts have, in a preliminary way, said that this could violate the equality guarantee of the Constitution to say that a certain group of people would be prohibited from serving based solely on the fact that they're transgender. The administration has a high bar to pass in a compressed period of time.
The Vatican is making a bold move in their sex abuse scandal. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Pope Francis has named a top sex abuse investigator for an upcoming summit scheduled for February, Vatican spokesman Greg Burke.
The stakes are certainly high. There are a lot of eyes upon us. We realize that. This is a process. I think the first thing that comes out is a recognition we have a problem, and the Pope recognizes that by calling people here.
The Pope summoned leaders of the world's 130 bishops' conferences to the Vatican for the February 21st through the 24th summit.
This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Despite what you may have heard on the internet, new medical research is showing that coffee is actually good for you. USA's Chris Barnes has the story.
This research into the research on coffee finds that drinking up to 4 cups of it a day may help you avoid an early death. These researchers in the UK didn't do new research, but they looked at more than 200 existing studies and found that coffee was more often than not linked to health benefits. And those include the reduced risk of heart disease, reduced risk of many cancers, and a reduced risk of dementia. The findings have been published in the British Medical Journal. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Details are slowly emerging concerning the murder of an American missionary who was slain by a primitive tribe that inhabits a small island in the Indian Ocean. John Clemens reports.
27-year-old John Allen Chow, working with the All Nations Sending Missionary, had a lifelong desire to witness to local tribesmen of the North Sentinels people. Dr. Mary Howe is with All Nations.
I believe when he was about 18 years old, he took a mission trip, and during that mission trip, he knew that God called him to missions, and the same year, he was Googling, and he discovered that the North Sentinelese people existed.
I'm John Clemens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
The second nine, the finishing holes, the closing stretch. It starts now. Here's the back nine, our number two of Real Golf Radio. With the steady, stripe it down the middle, make every putt because it's in your blood, Bob Casper, and that better lucky than good handled dragon flipper, Brian Taylor. Here's Brian and Bob.
Hey, welcome in. It's hour number two, the back nine of Real Golf Radio, a special Thanksgiving weekend edition, the best of Real Golf Radio. Thanks for being with us. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, Dave Glauser, our producer, and a very special happy Thanksgiving weekend to each one of you. Thank you for accessing the show, taking us along with you on your holiday travels. We certainly appreciate that and for being with us. RealGolfRadio.com, of course, is the website, and you can access us on Twitter at RealGolf. Convenient anytime listening there through our SoundCloud account and other venues. Say, hey, still to come here on hour number two of Real Golf Radio, we're going to welcome in Tony Finau. We talked to him at his Tony Finau Foundation. Also, Johnny Miller, a two-part interview with Johnny as he looks back on his Hall of Fame broadcast career with NBC. Of course, Johnny will be hanging it up after the Phoenix Open coming up in February of 2019. And Johnny, kind enough to spend quite a bit of time with us visiting and reminiscing, recollecting some of the interviews and experiences and even some of the things he wish he could have back. You'll hear that coming up here momentarily on this best of edition of Real Golf Radio. And it's brought to you in part by Callaway Golf. Check out Callaway Golf and the new Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X, the ball that changed the ball. And by the way, through the 14th at CallawayGolf.com, you can get free customization and personalization of your Callaway Chrome Soft golf ball. Go to CallawayGolf.com. Holiday/tag gift guide for your holiday gift guide for customized golf balls and so much more for the golfer on your list at CallawayGolf.com. And looking forward to hearing from Tony. You know, Tony had a really nice holiday this week with the Tony's Turkeys, hashtag Tony's Turkeys and Traeger Grills, where he was looking to feed those that were less fortunate. And just really Tony being Tony once again, Bob.
Yeah, 1,000 turkeys is what he and Traeger Grills did, and just giving it to less fortunate people. He remembers that he grew up in the type of situation where he didn't always have food or the things that the season kind of goes along with, and he wants to make it better for others. And it's so cool to for him to be able to represent Traeger and for them to get those 1,000 turkeys and get it to those people in the Rose Park area of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, really neat stuff. And you can join the movement at hashtag Tony's Turkeys at Traeger on Twitter as well. So you'll hear from Tony and his foundation event where he held at Alpine Country Club earlier this year, and then our two-part conversation with Johnny Miller, the Hall of Famer and Hall of Fame broadcaster as well, as we continue here on this Thanksgiving weekend best of edition. Thanks for joining us right here on Real Golf Radio.
The new Chrome Soft is better from tee to green. To maximize control, you need a ball with a soft, thin cover. Chrome Soft has a tour urethane cover, which feels incredible. Under the cover is the mantle. The guys in R&D at Callaway have tuned this layer to produce a more penetrating ball flight from 50 to 125 yards. Distance control in the scoring zone is everything. More control means more birdies. And I like birdies. This is the dual soft fast core. So what does it do? It produces ultra low spin off the driver for incredibly fast ball speed. Yet the core is still soft enough for you to compress the ball off the long irons. It's extremely soft and extremely fast. That's the secret behind Chrome Soft. The new Chrome Soft from Callaway. It's the ball that changed the ball.
The difference between tour pros and regular golfers is, well, pretty much everything. But when it comes to putting, the best players in the world generate top spin at impact. Most of us do not. The new O-Works Micro Hinge insert from Odyssey dramatically generates top spin at impact regardless of the putting stroke. Top spin is what gets the ball rolling on its intended line. The Micro Hinge insert is a new way to roll. The new O-Works Micro Hinge insert from Odyssey is in stores now. Go to odysseygolf.com to learn more.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Callaway's transformative gel break technology created an epic shift in ball speed and performance. In fact, it made them the number one driver in golf. Now it's the fairway wood's turn. The new Rogue Fairway is the world's first fairway wood with gel break technology. And of course, every Rogue Fairway comes equipped with Callaway's legendary 360 face cups, making Rogue the most powerful fairway wood Callaway has ever created. Get the distance on the new Rogue Fairway at CallawayGolf.com. Go Rogue with Callaway, the number one fairway woods in golf.
The first tee can teach young people how to hit a driver or how to stop a ball out of a bunker. But true success is measured by how well they perform off the golf course, by how well they use values like confidence,
my name is Kyla,
perseverance, and integrity in their daily lives.
I think you off your wallet.
The first tee helps young men and women become better golfers, but even more important, better people. Get involved. Visit thefirsttee.org.
And here's Ricky on 12. What a comeback it's been for him today. Pin placement is a little tricky. We're seeing something. Something is getting closer. Holy.
What the?
And that'll cost him.
It can be dangerous to drive while distracted. Yet at any daytime moment, almost 660,000 drivers across the country are using electronic devices while they drive. Join me and commit to always driving distraction-free.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Your hands, with the grip, they form the connection between you and your club. In a game where feel is so important to playing your very best, great shots begin with a great grip. For every golfer who wants to play better, there's a Lampkin grip.
And now, the best.
Rewind. Cue it up.
Of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper on the Real Golf Radio Network.
Hey, really excited to be joined by Tony Finau right here. He's the 12th member of the U.S. Ryder Cup team, and we're here at Alpine Country Club in his foundation tournament, the Tony Finau Foundation. It's been really a whirlwind 24 hours as you finish up the BMW, fly on a jet across country, dance for your fans and all the supporters of the foundation, and then host a tournament again here today. How you feeling? How you soaking all this in?
I feel great. Yeah, I feel great. It's got a nice ring to it, the Ryder Cup teammate. So I'm excited about that. And the last 24 hours have been hectic, but man, these are the type of experiences that dreams are made of. And so, you know, incredibly pleased just with our turnout here at the foundation event. And, you know, obviously with the Ryder Cup, really excited about that. I've kind of had some time to soak it in now and enjoy it. But I look forward to just getting over there and just adding some of my skill and talent to the team. That's a team that's already incredible. So whatever, you know, I had a conversation with Jim, whatever he needs from me, I'm willing to do. So I'm excited to be part of a camaraderie like that and a team like the Ryder Cup. It's something that I've dreamed of my whole life, and to be on a team like that is satisfying and special. But at the same time, we've got a goal as a team, and that's to bring the cup back. It's been a long time since we've done that, and we feel like we have the guys to do it this time. So our focus is going to kind of turn that way, and I'm just excited to be a part of it.
As you know, the Ryder Cup was one of my dad's favorite events. Yeah. 7 times he played, 8 time he was a captain, and he's got the most points, but it looks like Phil's going to win a few matches and take it away from him. At the beginning of the year, we walked with your dad in San Diego, and he told us one of the goals that you had for the year was to make the Ryder Cup team. How did that all come about? What did you need to do to get to that point?
Yeah, well, I needed belief and confidence in myself that right. I can reach that type of goal. You know, people probably laugh at me a couple years ago thinking I could be on a Ryder Cup team or whatever. But, you know, that's, goals like that are what drives me to try to continue to get better. And it's something that I had on my mind all year, all season. I knew it's something that I could accomplish. And when I didn't make the top 8 and play my way onto the team, I wanted to prove that I could be a pick. And so being able to do that, you know, and play well when I really knew I needed to, as far as the Ryder Cup was concerned, gives me a lot of confidence moving forward. I knew, you know, my game was and I was on kind of under a magnifying glass, if you will, with the captains right. and those who were picking the guys. You know, the Ryder Cup team seems to be about guys that are in, just meaning they don't really like new guys, it seems like. And I'm a new guy, so I need to prove to them that I belong on the team and play my way onto that team. So I've got a lot of support from the guys on the team, which is something that means so much to me. I've heard nothing but great things about the guys that are already on the team, as far as how much they respect me, how much they're cheering for me to be on the squad and play my way on the team. So that means a lot to me and carries a lot of weight, and just excited to be on the team.
You know, golf is something we love. It's a fun game. We love to play it. I play it more than any other sport. But as a sports fan, there are a lot of events that I would say are my favorite sporting events. And the Ryder Cup for me is in my top 2 for sure. I mean, this is a real team aspect in an otherwise individual sport, right? Yeah. How cool is it growing up playing team sports, choosing golf, and now being a part of a team again within the sport that you're playing professionally?
Yeah, it's so cool because it's different than what we're used to. We're not used to playing as a team. We're used to playing individually. And so just having that aspect and having teammates, having a coach, if you will, a captain, mm-hmm. having other captains, and just having that camaraderie with guys, man, I think it's going to bring out the best in us. I really do. And it's a different part of this game. And to be a part of it, again, like you mentioned, you know, the Ryder Cup is one of the greatest sporting events in all of sports, not just in the game of golf. I think it's the greatest thing in the game of golf. Yeah. Between that and the Masters, to me, you know, those are the two.
Can't disagree.
Those are the two greatest events in golf. But in sports in general, I feel like the Ryder Cup is that special because we get Americans to cheer for us.
Yeah.
You know, and people that love the United States of America and people that are from here are just proud of the team that we've assembled. And they're cheering for us, so it's a whole different feel. But the good news is it's not a different game. It's the same game that we all know how to play. And I look forward to just playing my game and putting some birdies up and putting some points up for Team USA.
What are your strengths? What do you bring to the team that can help bring that cup back?
Yeah, first of all, I know I'm a team player, so whatever the captain needs on my behalf, I feel like my attitude and just the way that I am, I can mesh well with anybody on the team. Just meaning I can play with any guys. My personality is that way. And just evidence of my golf game, I can make birdies, and that's what you need in match play.
Yes, you do.
You can make some mistakes, but if you make a lot more birdies than you do mistakes, you're going to win matches. So, I have a great track record when it comes to match play.
Mm-hmm.
I've won the state am. You know, I've won some matches this year at the WGC against some great players. So I have a great track record when it comes to match play, and it's just because of that I can make some birdies. So I expect to make some birdies and just bring some points to the USA team.
You played that golf course. What can you tell us about it, and how does it fit your game there?
Yeah, it's a golf course that's a little more tight and a little bit more of probably like a shot maker's golf course. But it's all dependent on the weather. If it blows hard, the golf course is going to play tough. You're going to see some pars winning holes. There's water everywhere. Almost every hole has water. But if the wind doesn't blow, which it didn't when we practiced, we made a lot of birdies in practice. And I expect it to be, you know, a lot of birdies to be made if the weather isn't bad. So it's all going to be weather dependent. But, you know, I proved to myself, you know, no matter what type of golf course, you know, my skill sets, you know, I can make birdies anywhere.
How many drivers did you hit there?
I hit like 4 to 5, but I can hit 6 to 8 if the weather allows me to, and if I really need to. And that's the great thing about match play. You know, I'm playing with a partner who is in the fairway, and I know it's a hole I can take advantage of with, you know, getting a driver up there or something. You know, I can start to play a little bit more aggressive. So that's when the team aspect of it comes into play, and you're not only just thinking about you, but you have another teammate that can help you, and so you're going to make the aggressive play. So definitely some cat and mouse as far as strategy. But that's a great thing about team golf and team things in golf.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, your foundation event going on, a lot of great things that are coming from this. It's grown over the years, and you've had some exciting announcements this week.
Yeah, really exciting announcement. We got the Tony Finau Foundation Learning Center that has, you know, we're breaking ground on, and you know, I wanted to let everybody know that was part of it, that's our next big goal. And you know, I mentioned last night in speaking, I was surrounded by a lot of great people, you know, my parents being one of them, and instilling a lot of confidence in me. And that's what I want to do with this learning center, is, you know, kids to know that we care, and to hopefully just help them and assist with their parents. We're not trying to take over the parent role, but to just be a support group for them, and to know that people care and give them the confidence to go into the world and make a difference. So that's what we're trying to do at the learning center. And it's pretty exciting news for me. It's something that I'm really proud of. And man, hopefully we can get that thing up and running as fast as possible.
Well, well done, and we wish you all the best. Of course, East Lake first, right?
Yeah, that's right. We got a FedEx Cup tournament to get underway next week. So I'm excited for the opportunity I have to win the FedEx Cup. I can honestly say that because it's in you know, I control. Yeah, I can control my own destiny. I haven't won all season, but it'd be a damn timely win to win next week. So I'm excited just to have that opportunity. I know. All the chips are on the table. If I win next week, I win the FedEx Cup, and that's a great feeling to have. You know, there's only five guys that can say that this week, and I'm one of them. So it speaks to kind of the consistency I've had all year. And again, it'd be a pretty dang timely win. So I look forward to playing next week.
All right. Well, all the best, and thanks again for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
It's the best of Real Golf Radio.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government, and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517. Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right.
Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
You're listening to the best of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper on the Real Golf Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, thank you so much for joining us. And really pleased to welcome our next guest, who's a Hall of Famer and really needs no introductions, although he did win 25 times on the PGA Tour, a pair of major championships, shot that final round 63 in 1973 to capture the U.S. Open at Oakmont, and of course has been entertaining us and calling the shots in golf for so many years, announces his retirement this month, and we're pleased to welcome in the man, the myth, and the legend, Johnny Miller, joining us once again here on the show. Johnny, good morning.
Yeah, nice to be on the show, Brian. Yeah, it's been a wild last week, I can tell you that. My phone is red hot.
I'll bet. I really appreciate you working us in and taking a few minutes for us. We've really enjoyed talking to you over the years. You've been very, very kind to us and sharing with us and our listeners your thoughts on the game of golf. Kind of just maybe just start out with what went into this decision and how long have you been planning this announcement?
Well, you know, I'm 71 and a lot of my friends are all retired. It's like, what the heck am I doing working, you know? It's like, so I kept putting it off year after year, you know. I started having like one-year contracts and I mean, it's a great job. Don't get me wrong. Just fantastic job and it's a very rare job to be the lead analyst. But I don't know. I sort of knew it was right. You know, I left the tour before I needed to, and I sort of wanted to keep that same modus operandi. So on leaving a little bit before, guys were saying, get him out of there. He's getting old. He can't think anymore. So I don't know. It was a good time to go. And you know, I've done pretty much everything I ever wanted to do, not only playing, but with the announcing gig. I never thought that I'd be able to do reasonably well. And, you know, I had such a good team around me. Dan Hicks, 20 years with him. That's the longest anyone's ever been with a partner. And, you know, just guys like Malfi and Cook. And there's so many good people on our team. It made it sort of easy for me. So, but I knew it was time. And so I'm happy I made the decision. I'm not sure how happy I'm going to be in less 3 months when I'm bored in the winter here in Utah. We'll see.
You know, so much of the golf commentary is those guys and Gary Koch and Roger Maltby, and, you know, I'll throw it back to you. And when they give their commentary, they say, I really think so, Johnny. And so we're not going to hear Johnny anymore. I mean, that name Johnny just was part of the broadcast for so long. And at the same time, you know, you came about it a little bit differently. You called the shots. That was the name of your book. You said some of the things you had a really good eye, obviously, for the game, and you would call it like you would see it. And sometimes you were dead on, and sometimes you were completely wrong, but you called the shots and made it interesting. That made you a bit polarizing. I'm sure you heard both sides of the love Johnny, hate Johnny kind of thing as a commentator, huh?
Well, people want to look good. The players want to look good on national TV. I don't blame them. I wanted to look good, too, when I was on. That red light went on. But, you know, the guys hit nice high fades for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, the last three holes, he's pulled duck hooking it. You know, he might be joking, you know. So, I mean, you might as well say it, you know. So, you know, that's the way I viewed my own game, and I'd be the first one to say I had the yips. And that I sort of gagged down the stretch. And that was, to me, the greatest part of golf is really how well you handle pressure. That's why everybody loved Tiger Woods, because he was so good under pressure. And Nicklaus and Trevino and a lot of these guys are just phenomenal under pressure. And so, you know, that's, I sort of studied people and how they handled pressure before I became an announcer. And that to me was the most fascinating part. And so, not everybody loved that kind of, I say I undressed them, didn't pull their underwear down, but I pulled the rest of the clothes off. But I just feel like that I just did it my way. And I'm sort of a bold person. I'm not really afraid of too much. And so I basically just called it like I saw it. And people, like when I'm back east, everybody, hey, Johnny, we love you. Keep telling it like it is. That's what they always say. That's what I'm known for, is just being honest and telling it like it is. And those aren't too bad things to be called.
Johnny Miller joining us right here on Real Golf Radio. Looking back on it, do you have some favorite moments? Do you have some things that just stand out to you as, man, I've done a lot of golf broadcasts, but that one was really cool.
Well, obviously my first event in 1990, Peter Jacobson, who is my partner at the time in the team championship, we're good buddies, played a lot of practice rounds together. He's got that downhill lie on the 72nd hole over water. And I said, this is the perfect shot to choke on, because you try to hit it high like you do at 15 at Augusta. You try to hit it high off the downslope, and you hit it fat or thin in the water or block it right. And I didn't say he was going to choke. I just said this is a perfect shot to sort of make it look that way. And all his friends, I guess, told him that I said that he was going to choke on the shot, and he was mad at me. He told me for like 8 months until the Anheuser-Busch, and he probably said, I finally saw that tape, and you didn't say I was going to choke, and I've been mad at you for 8 months. But a lot of people, that's the way they look at it. Unless they see the circumstances of what's happening and whatever, they need to take a moment of just a little thought that you throw out there. Unless you hear the whole thing, it sometimes doesn't look too good. But that one was the first time anybody ever said the word choke on TV in golf. And that's sort of people, boy, I caused a lot of commentary that next week about, am I going to talk about the choke factor? And then I think the Ryder Cup at Kiowa was, I think that was the greatest TV golf I had ever seen, and still to this day, even though it had the miracle of Brookline. And even this year's Ryder Cup, how great the Europeans looked and how much they liked and loved each other and played as a team. And I mean, they're just, Tiger's win at the 2000 U.S. Open was the greatest performance I ever saw. And that, For some reason, that open at Torrey Pines against Rocco Media stands out a lot, how he sort of stole that away from Rocco. But I don't know, there's a million things like that. But I was able to cover Tiger's whole career. I was there at the National Juniors with my sons when he won a couple of those, three in a row. And then I covered two of you as amateurs, Buddy Marucci at Newport, and then at Pumpkin Ridge with Steve Scott, and then covered his whole career. So, I mean, that's history, man, to be able to say you covered pretty much the whole shebang of Tiger's career. So, those are the things I think about.
So as you recall those, and I'm hearing you say Buddy Marucci, Steve Scott, I remember watching those, but I couldn't remember those names until you just ripped them off there. You said you're 71. I'm only 44, and I have a hard time remembering. Golfers tend to remember certain things. As a commentator, do you find yourself remembering those same things? I mean, does it stick? Do you feel like that's one of the skill sets that you had to have, was the ability to remember those things over and over and recall those in your broadcast?
I wouldn't give myself better than a C in that regard. I'm really good at being observant and really seeing the finite stuff as it's happening what's happening that day. But I'm not a great history memory guy, even though I do certain things stick, obviously, for everybody. But when I'm talking about names, usually I won't talk about names unless I have a little paper in front of me. I write down that name so I don't have a memory blank on national TV. I put my finger on the name like Steve Scott. Okay. I didn't do that this time, but you're right. You don't want to, but I did sort of train Dan Hicks. I said, I'm not good at names. My dad wasn't good at names. Some of my sons aren't good at names, good at numbers, but, you know, if I sort of pause on somebody's name and you know what it is, just sort of fill it in for me, you know. So he was good that way when I needed. It only happened a couple times a year, but it was nice to know he had my back.
Hey, Johnny, pull the curtain back a little bit. And, you know, we've had the chance to see you in the broadcast booth and to visit with you on days before you go on the air. And you spend quite a bit of time out on the golf course and in your preparation for your broadcast. Talk about what your routine was as you prepared before a tournament.
Well, my dad said if you want to be the best, you got to be willing to do things other guys aren't willing to do. And no announcers ever went out on the course and putted the greens or charted the grain or went down in the bunkers and said, okay, if you had 100 balls from here, what's the average shot? 6 feet, okay, anything better than that's a great shot. You know, I just did all that and, you know, charted on notes and everything else, all the breaks and the fall lines, and I introduced the public to fall lines and, you know, and sideboards and backboards and just a lot of things, you know, chunk and run. All those things are Johnny-isms, you know, and now they're golf lexions. So I didn't do that on any purpose except for that's just the way I called them, but... you know, doing the homework does give you confidence. If you feel like you're doing things the other guys aren't doing, it can set you apart and bring you on the forefront. So, yeah, I wasn't as chummy with the players because I was trying to represent the public and really let them know and learn from the great shots the players hit and also learn from the mistakes. And that I think the players knew that I was sort of more trying to push the game along and push the viewer along more than just tell that wedge shot 40 feet from the hole was a great shot. You know, I wasn't big on that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I wasn't going to, if I said it was a great shot, I believed it was truly a great shot. It wasn't a shot that was just a C shot or a so-so shot.
And we don't get up and down in golf. We get up and in, right?
That's right. Yeah, right.
That's another one. It changed the vernacular. I don't say up and down anymore. It's like, hey, nice up and in. That came from Johnny. So.
Yeah.
Hey, when you look back on it, I'm sure, obviously, with that style, you say how it is. I'm sure there were some times when you look back on it, you go, man, I got that right, and probably that was a little unfair. Do you have some moments of regret in some of the things that some of the calls you made?
Brian, I'm trying to forget those ones. the Ryder Cup at Brookline when, you know, Justin Leonard hadn't won a match and he had thrown away a previous match and I sort of got down on him because, you know, there were other guys that could have been playing and he finally in that Saturday match, I said the only place Justin Leonard should be right now is home watching it on TV. That didn't go over real big, but it did give. They put it in the locker room and sort of rallied around that, believe it or not, supposedly. That's not coming from me. That's coming from the team room guys. And that one wasn't too good. And Craig Berry, when he hit that shot at Doral during the Sunday round, I said, that swing is just not a good swing. He has a big old come over in there right at the bottom. He cups his left wrist and his left arm pulls weird. And I said, Ben Hogan puked. I found that puke didn't go real well on TV either. So that was, I apologize. I had a routine that I would apologize within 24 hours, which is not a bad habit for all of us out there, even in regular life. When you make a bogey or double bogey, and you feel bad about it, have the guts to call a guy up or go see him and say, hey, I made a double or I made a bogey there. Sorry about that. It won't happen again. So that was my sort of technique of trying to have enough guts to do that and bridge any, you know, things I said that I shouldn't have said. But there weren't that many of them, but there were more than anybody else did. Let's put it that way.
It's the best of Real Golf Radio.
So you've thought about LASIK surgery, but you're hesitant. I get it. It's your eyes, and while it's a hassle to deal with contacts and glasses, the thought of a laser in your eye sounds painful and scary. Well, let me tell you, I had the same feelings until I went to Hoops Vision for my free evaluation. I was super impressed with the time they spent, and they put all my concerns to rest. I left excited and confident knowing that I was in the best hands with the latest technology. The day of the surgery was easy. No pain, comfortable massage chairs, and warm chocolate chip cookies to help me relax. And then the miracle. Within a few minutes, I could could see. It's an amazing feeling, and now I can see where my golf ball goes, and I enjoy wearing sunglasses and not dealing with contacts that dry up out in the sun and the wind. It's why major champions like Mike Weir chose Hoops Vision. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with new techniques such as smile and camera, there are more options than ever before. Visit HoopsVision.com today and schedule your free consultation. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you could save $1,000 off your procedure. More choices, more experience, better vision at Hoops Vision.
And here's Ricky on 12. What a comeback it's been for him today. Pin placement is a little tricky. We're seeing something... Something is getting closer. Holy.
What the?
And that'll cost him.
It can be dangerous to drive while distracted. Yet at any daytime moment, almost 660,000 drivers across the country are using electronic devices while they drive. Join me and commit to always driving distraction-free.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
You can tell a lot about a golfer by the way he sets his hands on the club. Is he squeezing the life out of it? Or is it like he's cradling a newborn baby? Holding it light so he can feel the club head eliminates tension, increases swing speed, and improves accuracy. These are the things our grips promote. Because the secret to golf isn't how you put your hands on the club, it's the way you put your hands on a wind grip. Win, play your best golf.
When Callaway first equipped their drivers with jailbreak technology, they completely changed the game. A new bar for ball speed had been set, and golfers everywhere started to take notice. So what, you think they were just going to call it a day? Not a chance. Nope, they took their most epic technology and went rogue. The new Rogue driver has taken jailbreak distance and made it more forgiving than ever. The new jailbreak bars are lighter and stronger, which allows Rogue to redistribute its weight throughout the head. When you have a reshaped, more forgiving head, well, you get more forgiveness. Forgiveness you didn't even think was possible out of a driver that fast. No more playing it safe, folks. Tight fairway? Bomb it anyway. Water in play? Clear it. That's the power of the jailbreak effect. And that's why Callaway is the number one driver in golf. You're either playing it or you're leaving yards on the table. Go rogue with Callaway. Get the details now at CallawayGolf.com. Callaway, the number one driver in golf.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicholas agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
You're listening to the best of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper on the Real Golf Radio Network.
Johnny Miller joining us right here on Real Golf Radio. So over the years, you mentioned watching the career of Tiger. You mentioned all the way back to Kiwa. So you got the 90s, the 2000s, the teens. Here we are approaching, you know, the 2020s nearly. Where would you, I guess, put golf right now? As you've seen the growth and development, how would you sort of rate golf and its health and the excitement level around the tour?
Well, golf's bigger than any one guy. But, boy, when you got Tiger sort of going out of the game, you know, several years ago, it hung in there. But, you know, now that Tiger won the tour championship and he's playing so well, boy, the tour this year should be just fantastic, you know, as long as Tiger can stay healthy, because they have a really good supporting cast with Tiger, with Brooks Koepka. He's had won three majors, of course, and Dustin Johnson's so consistent, and Justin Rose of England, and Justin Thomas, and Rory, and, you know, they got some really, really great, man. Ricky, hopefully he can get where he wins more often than Jason Day, and Spieth needs to get it together, but you really got a lot of popular guys, and guys that are household names, so when you have a current, even at 42, Tiger Woods, you really got something pretty special, especially the way he's been playing. He should have a really big year. I could see him winning four times next year. It's just whether or not he can do it in a major. I don't see why not, but he was having trouble. You know, had six times he had a chance to win on Sunday this year, and until he won the tour championship, four times he was leading on the back nine, and he sort of let all of them sort of fall apart, and that was a little getting a little concerned you got to be a little careful what you say about Tiger because he has so many fans, and you don't want to be too tough because it doesn't go real big. But in fact, I knew I was going to retire. I didn't say much negative, but you know, but he should be fantastic next year, and it's just whether he can do it in the majors. He might want that Nicklaus record almost too bad, where maybe that might make him gag a little bit.
Johnny Miller joining us here on Real Golf Radio. So you've got a successor now. Paul Azinger's been announced. Did you have any say in that? And what's your thoughts on Zinger taking over with Dan Hicks in your spot?
I didn't really have any say in it. In fact, that's one reason why you asked me to be on the show a few times, but NBC told me, you know, they said no more interviews until we get this thing over with and decide who's going to be your guy, because everybody wanted to ask me who it's going to be. But Zinger is one of the only announcers that will actually be sort of real frank. And, you know, he said some stuff in the past that has ruffled a lot of feathers, as many as I have. But he's sharp and he's quick. He knows the game. I talked to Dan Hicks yesterday about, you know, I'm going to be doing Saturday at the Phoenix Open and then sort of introduce him at the end of the show, Paul, and he'll do Sunday on his own with Dan. I've talked to Paul on the phone, and we're good, both of us good with the whole thing, and gave him a few bits of advice. And I'm happy. I think the team will just do just fine with him, you know. It'll take a little while to adjust on the cadence of an open mic. Now, I was the first guy with an open mic in that, you know, on every conversation, but you got to start knowing the guys that are a mile away when they're going to finish talking and you come in, and, you know, just how that all works. It'll take a little while on that. Tommy Roy, our producer, he's the one that invented that thing and had the confidence in me to have me basically in on every shot pretty much. So that was a big responsibility for me. And the long hours, the other reason why I quit was the hours are just getting crazy long. I mean, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours live. And when you're on all the time with an open mic, you know, you can't, like, whatever you want to do, you can't do it. You can't be eating or going to the bathroom or whatever. I mean, you got to, it's more responsibility than just having whole 13 and 6, you know, like some of the announcers.
No doubt about it. Did you give him the blackberry pie advice that you gave to Ian Baker Finch?
It didn't go in Ian's mind there, but I tried to tell him, like my dad said, the secret to a great pie, and grandmother taught him that, was that you pick 4 ripe blackberry sweet ones, but you need to have 1 half ripe one to give it the, you know, that tartness, that bite, that it gives it character. It can't be all sweet and everything's wonderful, you know. But, you know, that's the way I tried to announce, was that mostly compliment, but every once in a while I got to throw in a half ripe one.
There you go. So your last event is going to be in Phoenix, known as the Desert Fox. The rounds and the wins you had, what was it, 3 in a row and back-to-backs and all the stuff that you had there in the 70s was super impressive. My guess is that was by design?
That was my idea, because I knew I couldn't say goodbye during the FedEx Series, all those tournaments we did, and the Tour Championship, and then the Ryder Cup. I mean, those tournaments are a lot bigger than Johnny Miller retiring, in my mind. So I said, Tommy, I'll come back at the Phoenix Open, since I think some of my best memories, I think the best I ever played was in 75. I hit in the water in the last hole at Phoenix and won by 14 shots, 24 under, and then won by 9 the next week, shot 25 under, 49 under for 2 weeks, which is stellar record. And it was amazing how things were going my way and how well I was hitting those iron shots. And so I thought, well, that was the thing I remember most, is how well I played there in the desert.
So after the Phoenix Open, what can people, when they're thinking about Johnny Miller, what will Johnny be doing?
going fishing with you, I guess, and a lot of other people, you know. But I have some stuff to do. I'm going to be standing touch with golf, but you know, besides the church stuff and my big family, 24 grandkids and 6 kids, but I'm one of the third owners of Silverado Resort, and that's a big responsibility. And the Safeway opens in Silverado. I brought that to Silverado, and that's a lot of work. And then I want to do some camps, maybe at Pebble Beach and Silverado and Napa. And I'm pretty involved. I want to get more involved in Utah Junior Golf. I started that with Carl Tucker and way back in the dark ages. But, I mean, it's great that we have a super junior golf program in Utah. Finau and Summerays and those guys come through. And then I got 24 grandkids. I got a lot of teaching to do, how to fly cast and how to hit a golf ball, et cetera, and give them some life skills and some wisdom. So I'm not going to be bored, I can tell you that.
That sounds fun. Hey, before we let you go, and I really appreciate it, I know we've taken a bunch of your time here. You mentioned how well you played in the 70s and shooting 49 under in those 2 weeks. And really for a period of, what would you say, probably three or four years, you had as many wins or more than anybody else did during that period of time. Billy Casper had that period of time. Everybody sort of, you know, the greats have their period of time, and then the super greats sort of are able to extend that over a greater length of time, and that's pretty rare. When you see what like guys like Brooks Koepka have done recently, when you see Rory jumped out to that quick start, Spieth had his little, 2 years. How hard is it to maintain that, and do you see guys today being able to sustain it in a way that Nicholas and Palmer and some of these other guys have been, and Woods have done in the past?
Yeah, that's a great statement and great question. It's just it's hard to stay up there. There's so many responsibilities when you get number one, or in my case, I was battling Trevino, and then of course trying to catch up to Nicholas, and I might have caught him a couple times there in the 70s, but. You know, people were saying I'm number one, and people were saying, what are you kidding? He's got 14, you know, he's got, at that time, let's say 16 majors. Don't even, as Weisskopf said, Johnny Miller doesn't even belong on the same course as Jack Nicklaus. So there was a, sort of that lot of uproar that people would be saying I was number one. And at the time, I think in the regular tournaments, I was number one for a while there. But, you know, it takes a lot out of you, all the press and the responsibilities of being up there all the time. It's a lot different. But a guy like Dustin Johnson, he's so low-key, you know, he just sort of ambles along. He's the kind of guy that can just keep ambling along. And Koepka looks like he might stay up there for a while. It's not like he's won a lot of tournaments, but he's won like five tournaments or something, but three majors. He could stay up there for a while with the way he's sort of low-key, but the fiery ones, like a Spieth, you know, I was like the same way. I was, you know, it's like a rocket ship going up and it real fast, and then it just flares out, you know. And, you know, it's hard to keep it going. You're right. Only the rarest thing is a guy like Tiger just cannot get enough wins. I mean, it's just such a rare thing. Rory's a lot like I was in that. He's sort of a nice guy, a family guy, likes being home, and, you know, he's got great talent. But it was hard for him to be up there number one. It just, that wasn't him, you know. And so, you know, it's fun to watch it like you've been doing. It's fun to cover golf, isn't it? It's just an amazing sport to cover.
Absolutely. And did you just say Barbara Nicholas called you out? she said you don't belong on the same golf course as her husband. Was that what you said?
Did I say Barbara Nicholas or Tom Weisskopf?
Oh, it was Weisskopf's wife. That said, yeah. Oh, Weisskopf said that. I thought you said Jack's wife called you out. Okay, you said Weisskopf. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, Barbara's shooting you a zinger.
Yeah, Ohio State boys, they like to stay together. You know, Weisskopf, if he would have not idolized Jack so much, he had a chance to be the best player in the world. But he just thought Jack was unbeatable, and he darn was.
Absolutely. Well, John, thanks so much for your time. More than gracious to give us this much, and we really appreciate it. And again, we always appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show. Hopefully we'll still be able to check in with you, and if we talk a little golf and a little fishing mixed in there as well.
Yeah, Brian, thanks a lot, and say hi to Bobby for me.
All right, will do. Johnny Miller joining us right here on Real Golf Radio.
It's the best of Real Golf Radio.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days. And anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now, 800-428-1570.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
All right, thank you so much for joining us here on Real Golf Radio, this Best of Edition brought to you by Callaway Golf. Go to callawaygolf.com/gift guide for all of your holiday gift suggestions, only from Callaway Golf, the number one driver, number one fairway woods, number one irons in golf. And of course, that would include Odyssey as well. And Bob, we've talked about this. If you're looking for a gem of a gift for the golfer on your list, maybe one of those beautiful XO Rossi or number 7 putters available at odysseygolf.com. Just absolutely fantastic stuff. They look amazing. Get compliments on them every time. And of course, you know, they make putts. That's the most important thing. So you can check that out at odysseygolf.com. But hey, it's been a fun show. We've really enjoyed the conversations that we've had. We've been fortunate. Coming up now on finishing 19 years of hosting Real Golf Radio, we've been fortunate over the years to talk to some pretty neat people and be able to discuss the game of golf with our listeners and to visit with some of the great personalities, players, media, coaches, you know, the industry folks as well, and golf destinations around the world. Just really fun. And I guess on this Thanksgiving weekend edition, this best of in this holiday time, it's a good time to express gratitude for those that are listening, those who have sponsored the show, those who have hosted us in different places. And it's certainly been a fun ride so far.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very thankful for the opportunity that we've been able to work together now for almost 20 years to talk the game of golf, which we love, and to travel and speak with players and see the game, how it's played in the professional ranks. And it's a fun opportunity that we're able to have, no doubt.
Yeah, hopefully you enjoyed this best of edition. Again, if you missed any part of the show, the website is realgolfradio.com, or you can go to our Twitter handle at realgolf. You can also search for us on many of the podcaster sites, our Heart Radio, TuneIn, Stitcher, the whole nine yards, and pull us up. And we appreciate you being with us and accessing the show, and wish you the very best of happy holidays. So we will have another best of edition coming up next week here on Real Golf Radio, and then we'll be back at you live to finish out the year with a recap on 2018
year, calendar year, highlights, lowlights, and what we can look forward to in 2019. Rules changes, new schedule, quite a bit to take a look at. So that's all coming up as we continue talking golf with you, and it'll kick off our 20th year here on Real Golf Radio. So for Dave and Bob, I'm Brian. Happy holidays, everyone. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the best of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper on the Real Golf Radio Network.